Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money in the Market. I'm Hongbin Jung. The crashes of Silvergate, Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and the related bank insolvencies are much more serious than the 2008 to 2009 crash. And with this turmoil in the banking sector drive spreads wider, are there any buying opportunities? Well, joining us on the phone today to tell us more is David Hawa, who is the Director of Client Portfolio Management of Fixed Income at Robeco. David, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for joining me today. So, you know, with the recent turmoil in the banking sector, how has the credit market fared so far?
Well, if you look, what we witnessed, you know, before the Easter break, we had a lot of volatility in all of the credit markets, driven notably, as you say, by the banking sector. Mm-hmm. But if you look after the Easter break, we all came back from holiday, and you can see volatility has decreased. And like you said, spreads that had gone up quite a lot because of this turmoil are starting to come back in again. So mm-hmm. we're seeing, you know, volatility has come down again, and we're seeing spread, albeit not to the same levels that we had pre-turmoil, but definitely they have been coming in. If you look, for example, at investment-grade credit, mm-hmm. they went up all the way from 132 basis points to 170 basis points. And today we are at 150 basis points. So that's the premium that you get over government bonds. So they have come down, but albeit still not to the same levels that we had pre-turmoil.
Okay. And given the recent turmoil then, is the banking sector a systemic risk factor?
In our view, at Robeco, we don't believe so.
Okay.
There were, of course, problems highlighted. If you look at the U.S. regional banks, and regulations were not as stringent as perhaps they should have been. Mm-hmm. I won't go too much into the technicalities, but there was a mismatch in terms of their duration liabilities. Mm. And notably, if you look at Credit Suisse has on the radar screen for quite some time. And unfortunately for Credit Suisse, they did not have the time to restructure mm-hmm. and return around. And so therefore, our view is that these were actually what we call idiosyncratic. Mm-hmm. So really linked to specific sectors of the financial sector, U.S. regionals, and specifically to Credit Suisse.
Okay. I mean, you know, the stress that some U.S. and Swiss banks has caused an aggressive, you know, repricing of bank spreads. And this has, of course, been centered around the AT1 market. So how were the AT1s affected during this time of crisis?
They were affected. Mm-hmm. And notably, what happened is that, and this is why we say Credit Suisse was an idiosyncratic and not systemic, because if you look at the Swiss regulators and what happened, you know, after the Credit Suisse event, mm-hmm. is that they prioritized the equity holders over the AT1 CoCo bond holders. That mm-hmm. means that the first to get and be affected by the losses were the AT1 CoCo bond holders and not the equity holders. Mm-hmm. Now, it was assumed that the first losses would be hit by the equity holders. And this came as a slight surprise. And so therefore, the AT1 CoCo bond got affected, got, let's say, a lack of confidence mm-hmm. in it. But if you look immediately after that, what came out is the European Banking Authority, the EBA, those are the regulators in Europe, mm. immediately came to support the AT1 CoCos. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, for them, this is a very important market. A lot of work has gone into that to restructure the capital ratios. And so therefore, they came up and re-put the hierarchy of AT1 CoCos and gave confidence back to the AT1 CoCo market. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've seen spreads that blew up above 750 basis points. Mm. And today they have come down by over 100 basis points. Currently they are around, you know, the 580 basis points. So they have broken back again in terms of the risk premium. They have come down. So confidence is coming back to that sector of the market.
Okay. But are there still investors buying AT1 bonds after this Credit Suisse write-down?
Absolutely. And like I said, the Swissness is what you are seeing in terms of the credit spreads after the Easter break. Like I said, mm-hmm. the premium was demanded when we were in the midst of the turmoil was at 750 basis points. Mm-hmm. And today we are back again to below 600 basis points. Mm. As a credit investor, you need to look at, one, the credit risk that you've taken, and then two, you need to look at the issue as well. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you need to make a judgment in terms of what are the risks that I'm taking on my portfolios, and am I being rewarded for that risk? Mm-hmm. Now, when the EBA came out with a statement to reinforce its support to the AT1 CoCos, and spreads at the time were trading at a very high level, i.e. AT1 CoCo bonds were very cheap, that for us gave us the trigger to go ahead and buy some of these because we were getting, in our view, well rewarded for the risk. Mm-hmm. The EBA was there supporting the market. And so therefore, we were not the only ones. And you can see the reaction of the market is that risk premium has come down again.
Mm. Okay. But I just want to ask, what makes AT1 bonds so attractive?
Their price. Mm-hmm. And as like I said, as a credit investor, you're looking at the financial institution. So you're looking who's issuing that bond. Mm. And you need to make a judgment. Do you feel happy with the financial institutions? And these could be the European national banks, you know, such as BNP, Crédit Agricole, Unibank, ABN AMRO, Rabobank, ING. And there you need to make a judgment on the financial institutions. And you need to look at the structure that you are buying and see the contingency and the level of capital ratios where you move from a fixed income holding to an equity holding. Now, capital ratios, because of the Basel regulations, have gone up tremendously. And now you're being well rewarded for the pickup and spread that you get after you've done your due diligence, of course, and buying into these bonds. So it's a matter of doing your due diligence, looking at the financial risk that you've taken, and looking at the issue you're buying yourself. And at the end of the day, am I being rewarded for the risk or not?
Okay. But what about in terms of CCC-rated credit, peripheral bonds, or corporate hybrids? Are there any opportunities there? Should investors have a portfolio with any exposure to financials at the moment?
We do believe that we do have an overweight exposure to the financials, selectively buying into the European banks. But you mentioned the CCC rated credit, and our base scenario is that we will see a slowdown in economic activity. And CCC rated credits are the weakest within the credit spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And our view is that entering into a slowdown, into an economic slowdown, you do need to have a quality bias. That means you do want to buy and have in your portfolio quality names that they don't have high leverage and high debt levels. Because if you get a slowdown in economic activities, those companies that have high debt levels will be really impacted. So currently, we are shying away from those CCC-rated credit bonds.
Mm.
In terms of peripheral, it depends which countries you're looking at. Are you looking at Spain? Are you looking at Italy? Are you looking at Portugal within Europe? That's what I'm assuming that you are referring to when you say peripheral.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very different. Our view on Spanish banks, for example, is we have a very favorable view. The likes of BBVA, Banco Santander, all these, we really like those. However, regarding, we take more of a prudent approach to the financial institutions in Portugal and to some extent to the financial institutions in Italy as well.
Okay.
Corporate hybrids is a, you know, you need to look at bond by bond and issuer by issuer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any other buying opportunities at the moment then? Was March a buying opportunity?
We definitely believe so. If you look at the risk profile of our credit strategies, you need to look in terms of valuation. Overall, the valuation in the credit markets was beginning to look slightly stretched and expensive before the turmoil that we had on the 20th of March. We had a very strong, you know, performance of the credit markets in the last quarter of 2022 and in January. And if you look in terms of spread, they were looking reasonably tight. And so therefore, when we got this volatility and this increase in volatility and the markets repriced, we saw this as a buying opportunity. So we increased the risk profile. And the way that you do it is because the credit markets, there's a lot of, you know, subsections within the credit markets. You've got investment grade, you've got high yield, you've got different sectors, you've got, you know, the dollar bonds. So all of them do not move equally. And what we found is that, you know, because financials was really in focus, they cheapened up tremendously. Like I said, once we've done your due diligence, we saw this as a buying opportunity, and we therefore increased the risk profile across all of our credit strategies, notably by expressing that via the financial bond.
Okay. But what are some sectors then investors should avoid?
Well, you need to have a base case scenario. So what is your view on the economy from now until the year end? And once you've built up that view, then you can make, you know, your strategic decisions of which sectors you like and which sectors you don't like. Now, our view is that we will see an economic slowdown in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
We will see an economic slowdown in Europe. And so, therefore, the sectors that you don't want to be, you know, aggressively overweight are those that are going to be impacted by a slowdown in economic activity. So when people are concerned about their jobs, And you see that consumer and everything related to consumption is going to come down again. So therefore, we are shying away from, for example, from consumer cyclicals, from the retail sector, from, for example, the leisure sector as well. Because these, in an economic slowdown and in a recession, are the first, let's say, sectors where consumers are not going to buy. You're not going to go on a second holiday when you are, you know, concerned about your job. So we shy away from those sectors. We shy away also from the real estate sector because look at the way Corona has made all this working. It's changed tremendously. And so commercial property, we believe, is going through a tough time, through a lot of changes. And also sectors that are going to be impacted by higher interest rates. So interest rate sensitive sectors as well, we will shy away from those as well. Okay. So those are the sectors that we are avoiding.
I see, I see. Well, thank you so much, David, for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with David Hawa, who's the Director of Client Portfolio Management, Fixed Income at Robeco. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.